We're getting ready to go live.
Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, we're live now on the air with Blog Talk Radio. Praise the Lord. I have here today my guest. We didn't get a chance to do our prayers game. We're going to have to do that after we finish because we are now live on the air with Blog Talk Radio. And we have here with our guest today, Mr. Hersey Jones.
Good evening.
And Mr. Jamal Hall, Brother Jamal Hall and Brother Hersey Jones. I want to thank you all for being with us here today on Blog Talk Radio.
All right, happy to be here. Thank you.
Okay, it looks like we're getting a call. A caller coming in already. Okay, you're here live on the air, and look like this is Melissa. Okay, Melissa?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, yeah. Well, we're just getting started here with our Blog Talk Radio, and we're going to be talking about blacks in the Bible, as well as other issues that affecting the black community. Melissa,
yes.
Can you talk really, really loud for us? Because we're also filming this, so can you talk really, really loud? And can you keep the noise of the children down for us?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, good. So the mic should pick her up pretty good. And so we have this here mic over here. And, okay. So we're going to be discussing a few issues here. We're going to be talking about black history in the Bible. And we're also going to be talking about other issues that are affecting the black community. And so we've already have had quite a big discussion before we even went on the air, which is one of the disadvantages. Because we've just been sitting up here just talking about everything, you know. And but we're gonna squeeze out some more stuff left. We got some more stuff left for you that we're going to give to you. I'm here looking at this book that's called 100 Amazing Facts About the Negro that was put out by J.A. Rogers. And this book, when I first read this book here, this book by J.A. Rogers, I was just totally surprised. Because in this book here, this guy here, he had other books here out too. But when he showed me certain things in here, about St. Maurice. I had no idea that St. Maurice was a black man. But then he says in this book that the majority of the characters in the Bible are black people. You know, a lot of us had no idea about that because, you know, the only thing...
Well, I had a big idea.
You did? Okay, yeah. Okay. Well, see, that's because...
Well, I don't know if that's why, but I did.
Okay, Melissa, are we getting a feedback from you?
No, ma'am.
What is that? Okay, I don't know what's happening. Are you accidentally punching the button?
I might be. I just moved the phone, but yes, I hadn't heard that concept until I ran across you, and it is really enlightening.
Okay. Well, Hersey Jones here. Can you how you first begin to hear about your black history in the Bible? How did you feel about that? And not only that, but did you really believe it, or did you not? Was that hard for you to believe?
Well, I tell you, it was two things. When I was a lot younger, they had the movie The Ten Commandments.
Uh-huh.
And it starred about Moses and being raised in Egypt. And Moses was Hebrew, and he was played by Charlton Heston.
Yes.
Yes. And then the Pharaoh, which was like Moses' first cousin, was played by Yul Brynner.
Yes.
And I had seen that the Egyptians were black.
Yes.
So I got to wondering, why were they black?
Yes.
Why were they not black? They were white.
Yes.
And so as I went to the Bible, and I noticed, and I kind of marked it, in Exodus, in the Bible I had at the time, Exodus 4th chapter, it was the first time they referenced black, color. I mean, first time they referenced color.
Uh-huh.
And as when Moses was on the mount, and then God was showing him his power, and to show Moses he was God, the Bible says, and clearly says, he turned his hand to leprosy.
Yes.
And leper is white.
Yes,
and
yes.
So I was looking for, what was his, and no Bible ever says what he turned it back to.
Yes.
And they all said, as the one I'm looking at now, it says his other flesh.
Yes.
And I was thinking, wait a minute. If I want to prove to you my power, I've got to go from one extreme to the other. So that's what got me to thinking that, hey, they must have all been black. And then certainly, you know, Moses was raised in the Pharaoh's house.
Yes.
As the son of the Pharaoh's
daughter.
A daughter. Yes. Right. Some say sister, son. But he was raised as an Egyptian. So the only way that could be is they had to be the same color.
He had to be black.
And nothing in the Bible gave you the color of the Hebrews, but they did. You knew that whatever color the Egyptians were, Moses had fit in.
Yes.
And that's what kind of got me to thinking. And then I went back through the Bible, and I could not find any color references.
Yes.
But what I also found was that the Hebrews and everybody else around could, sometimes you didn't know who they were.
Yes.
And they had to all be the same color. And then as I got older, I realized in that region, it was Africa.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And if you had leprosy in the Bible, that's the other time color was mentioned, it was considered a disease.
A curse. Mm-hmm.
A curse.
Mm-hmm.
So he clearly said you couldn't be close. And then, I'm sorry, there was other reference. They referenced Sarah, and they noted that she was fair.
Yes.
And the fact that she was noted as fair,
yes.
And then they were one of the other guys in the area who wanted her. And so I said, okay, if they're mentioning them as fair, then that must mean that
black.
The other colors could not be fair because that was the norm. See, fair was considered, so I was like, so I would see books about black, the Bible, and I would say they all were black.
Yeah.
And people over the years would look at me like I lost my mind. I was like, why could you not see them black?
Isn't that funny? That just the wording, the way that they did that was just to deceive us, you know, because it took a lot. It really, really, if God don't show you, it you won't know.
And that's what I had to say, it was God.
If he don't show you really don't know, because one of the things that a lot of people don't understand about the way that the interpreters of the Bible, because you know the Bible came out from the Jesus' twelve disciples. See, the Bible came out from Jesus' 12 disciples, but who got the Bible after Jesus had after the disciples? Because see, they were supposed to take the gospel to the four corners of the earth. They're supposed to take the gospel to everybody. See, this was the children of Israel's the Great Commission. I think I'm going to turn this off. This was their Great Commission. They were supposed to take the gospel to all of the other nations, and this is why Father God created, you know, the nation of Israel. See, this is what we were supposed to be doing. We have just messed up so bad. Yeah, I mean, you know, we're still messing up. You see what I'm saying? But now, so it wasn't the Hebrews that messed up the words. It was just people who were just jealous. They're the ones who messed it up because They didn't want us to know who we were. But then, too, you know, to tell you the truth, the Bible had already said that we were going to lose our memory. So all of that is really is a part of Bible prophecy. And so this is why I don't blame anybody. The only people I blame is us. You know what I mean? That's all you can blame, you know, is us. But that's interesting the way that you were able to see that. And so when you tried to share it with other people, they just pretty much thought you were crazy.
Well, I had one guy, he had a book on blacks in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you want to read this? I said, I don't have to read that. What else would they be? But
yeah.
Black.
Yeah.
And I said, even with Jesus, his parents hid in Egypt.
Yes, yes.
And so I said, so you have to, if you feel like they're looking for you and they're looking to kill him and God told his parents to go into Egypt and they're hiding, you wouldn't go in a place where you would stand out.
Exactly.
You would have to go in a place where you would blend in.
Yes.
And so I said, well, whatever color he is, he had to blend in. And then over in, I think it's in Isaiah, they talk about his hair was like wool.
Yes.
Well, we all know what wool looks like.
Laffy.
Looks like an afro, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So I didn't see anything that said they were not black. And that's what we should throw me for a loop. And the only reference I could see, and I may be wrong, was the Ten Commandments, the movie. I said, I think that's the perception. People get the perception on color from the Ten Commandments.
Well, yes, Hollywood played a great role in the deceiving of the black race and the white race, because black people were not the only one who were duped. White people were duped as well. And so this is what created that superiority in their minds to make them seem like they were superior than other people. Because they had our history, but they stole a whole lot of people's history, and you know, other than just our history. And so we're going to come back and finish talking about this. We're going to pause for a second, and then we're going to come back and talk about this a little bit more. Hold on right there for a second, Melissa.
All right. Hello?
Hold on. Reginald, get Robert on the phone and tell him to call into my phone because he wants to be in on this conversation too. And I'm asking Melissa, just call Robert and get him and tell him he can go and call into my phone. Unless you just want to have him on your phone, that'd be fine. Then we're going to just pick back up.
Give me Robert.
4-4-9-1-8. 3875. You know, it's for you. 918-3875. Do you want to say anything on this? Okay. Thank you, Melissa, for holding on. Now, Melissa, would you like to say anything?
Yes, ma'am. Ms. Flowers, I remember reading when I was a young Christian in the Bible when they talked about Jesus' hair, like the other minister that's on the line said, about his hair being bronze and being like wool and his feet like bronze. And it, for me, it was describing a black man. But because I hadn't heard it over the pulpit and in the media, I just let it go. And then when I ran across historians like yourself, then it kind of confirmed it to me that Jesus was one of a darker color, you know, more of our complexion and description. So there's no mistake about it. It kind of confirmed it to me that, hey, he was a part of a black heritage. He was a darker skin, more of our race. So I started embracing that, and it helped me embrace my heritage as that going back to the lineage of Jesus. And it does change the mindset previously had before that we were just thrown away slaves, you know, not important, you know, just meant to work for others. So it does change your mentality when you're thinking about yourself concerning your heritage. So it really opened my mind and enlightened my thinking concerning myself and coming from royal background through the lineage of Jesus Christ.
Do you think that once we really are able to pick up, really embrace our history in the Bible, do you think that this would make a difference in the minds of our children?
I really do, because I believe that if we understand that we came from a royalty, a heritage of righteous Jesus, then we won't. The media criminalizes a lot of our skin color. You know, you don't hear a lot about media publication about other races other than ourselves. You know, all the news. You may hear a little bit of someone of another race committing a crime, but you hear it's widespread when our race commits crime. It's more publicized and more widespread and broadcasted, and seems like the punishment as far as incarceration are more harsh with our people. So you have a lot of the job economy situation that's hard on us to be able to maintain employment. But if we know that we came from Roger Jesus' heritage, then it causes us to connect everything.
We have another call trying to come in too. Yeah.
So be patient, like Jesus was more patient, because we are part of him and we are part of his suffering. So it helps us that we understand that we are part of his heritage and a part of his suffering. It helps us become more of a patient people, like Jesus did.
Now, do anybody else want to make any other comment on what Melissa just said? Do anybody want to make a comment on that? Okay, look like we got another call trying to come in. Hold on. Oh, it ended. Okay, go on.
You know, what Melissa is saying is so true. It's regretful because what we're doing is trying to fix the harm that was done.
Oh.
You know, race really shouldn't matter. The Bible did make a big deal out of it. It just talked about believers. But once the color black became just demonized, and they began the notion that, you know, Jesus was white, God was white, and there was some point at which people said blacks were the descendants of Ham, Noah's son who was cursed, and that whole propaganda sort of created some negative thoughts and negative views. And so to know the truth, you know, truth enlightens. So it cannot help but help for those who may have just believed these lies and been sort of enslaved by them.
Yeah. You know, then there was a thought that we evolved, you know, that we evolved from a little monkey to a big monkey until, you know, human. And then they even went as far as to go back and show the research and the heritage and how it developed and how that theory became,
sure,
and all that stuff, you know. But when it, as you can see, I've been pretty quiet. When it comes to that talk, I just, you know, if I'm not knowledgeable on facts, I just listen and absorb, you know. And that which I, you know, kind of, okay, well, let me, I'll jot down a note or two and I'll go research it myself, you know. But yeah, we have a couple other subjects coming up that I jump right on into.
Right.
So y'all don't think I'm just being all laid back and just not saying nothing. But yeah,
you know, one of the tragedies that I, you know, people focus on various points in the Bible that they like,
yeah,
but the one that I've all been kind of baffled by is the fourth commandment. You know. Read the second commandment in Exodus 20th chapter, 4th verse. Says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above,
right,
or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Now, I say that because we all know Michelangelo painted a picture of Jesus.
Right.
And in the Sistine Chapel on the ceiling of it. And that became the model. And I've always wondered if Exodus 24 says don't make any image about heaven.
Right.
So this shouldn't have been a discussion, but because somebody painted Jesus white, now we've got this discussion on saying that Jesus wasn't white and he was more likely black. But God said don't make any image because he was trying to avoid this.
Yes. Yes.
He's trying to avoid this conversation. And so it's we're really not trying to put race in, really trying to take race out.
Right.
And to take race out, you got to use the historical facts to say that, hey, that was propaganda. And that was unfortunate.
Yes. And so this is one of the tools. I think this is another thing that caused mental bondage in us and self-hatred. Because if you got all your heroes are white, like for example, we were before we came on the film, we were talking about the Lone Ranger. And now we know that they have the history that the Lone Ranger, the original Lone Ranger, was a black man. And he was doing exactly what this Lone Ranger, the white Lone Ranger that they have on TV, that was Tonto. And he lived among the Indians from what I've been reading about. He lived among the Indians. And so to take the Lone Ranger and make him white because he is a hero, and then years and years later for your children to find out that this was a lie, you actually are destroying two people. You're destroying your children, as well as destroying the people whose history that you have stolen in order to lift yourself up. And really, it really reminds me of when Satan, when Father God had to tell Satan in Isaiah, he said that you have said that you will be like the Most High. You're going to lift yourself up above me. You will be above Most High, but you're going to be bowed down.
Right.
You know, to the pits of hell, you know. And so there's a penalty for identity theft,
Indeed. You know.
So there's a penalty because of the fact that it destroys. And so, and this is what Rogers was showing, just all of these people, not only the Egyptians in here that are black people, but just so many people that we thought were white that, you know, that they, you know, they turned out, you know, to be black. And right here, you're looking at a queen of England by the name of Charlotte Sophia. She is the great-great-grandmother of George the Fourth, I mean the Sixth. And so even King James, they have said that King James was a black man and he ruled Scotland and England. You see what I'm saying? And so now when people are saying that, okay, this person is white or this person is black, you may not really be able to say that because you may not really necessarily know. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So you may not necessarily, you know because they have painted people a white. And so like what Melissa was saying, that we're normally shown as the scum of the earth. But when you really go back and look and see what they did.
Well, you know, and we just got shown the proof on the Internet that the real Lone Ranger, and people can go and they can Google it. But, you know, the real, I know there's stolen identity.
Yes.
But there's a greater crime going on here, greater sin. They're indirectly making God a liar.
Yes.
Because they're saying God favors white. Blacks have not done anything.
Yes.
God is not loving and he's not kind. He's taking all the talent and all the smarts.
Yes.
And put it all over into whites.
Yes.
And that's a lie.
Yes.
And so it's really ultimately not just a lie by blacks and not just a lie by whites, but ultimately a lie by God. It says God's not fair. God's not just. God favors white, so that means what? God himself must be white.
Yes. You know, I had a black female once, you know, I was talking to this black female once, and so she was telling me, she said, we was reading about, you know, the story in the Bible where Jesus and his disciples were sitting at the table and they were eating. So this lady, she was, I think she was a Shulamite, I don't remember what particular family she was from, you know. And but she was from that area, from the Canaanite family, somewhere up in there. She lived there, so she wanted Jesus to do something for her. And Jesus told her that it was not good to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs.
Right.
And so this girl asked me. She said, "Was that a black woman?" He said that. I said, yeah, it was a black woman that he said that. Well, see, this makes people hate Jesus. You
yeah,
see what I'm
that's,
saying?
That's right.
Because they don't know. Well, they don't, all of them was black.
Oh.
And then you got to figure out, what was he talking about? You understand what I'm saying?
Right. That's right.
How, you know? And then the way Jesus communicates is, you know, God is like this. Number one, he is greater than anything you could imagine down here on earth.
Indeed.
Now,
indeed.
If you was in the presence of somebody like, let's say all these people, they're going crazy over Prince, even though he's dead. They love him all the same. Michael Jackson, you know, they love Whitney Houston,
right.
All this. And President Obama, even though he did save men going to the women's bathroom and all this kind of stuff. Now, they love him. You understand what I'm saying? But if they were in his presence, and then the Pope, they kiss his feet all the time. You see what I'm saying? The Pope can say something like that, ain't nobody going to say nothing. You see what I'm saying? Who they think God is?
But see, that's part of the bondage.
Yes.
The impact of the lies over the years have people rejecting.
Yes.
They think they're rejecting Jesus. They're not rejecting the Jesus and the God that he is. They're rejecting the lie about God that's been put out there.
Okay.
And so it's good to get them to see. You're in bondage. If you see the truth, then you'll see that this never was the case.
Yes.
You know, and that you'll see blacks have accomplished many things. It's like the book. They've accomplished things, but people just didn't talk about it.
Yes.
And so the question I always had, and Mr. Hall, I was thinking earlier, what is there about blacks? It causes people to have to lie on us so much.
And why are we so hated?
Yeah, we so hated. Why can't you just let the chips fall where
yeah.
the Lord put them?
Yeah. And see, the way Father God is, he'll say something, he's going to test how you feel. He said, whoever loved your father and mother more than me, you're not worthy of me.
Right.
Why? Because he's something special.
Yeah.
You know? And so he deserves this. You understand what I'm saying? Because he's father and mother. He's the first father and the first mother, you know, to us. You see what I'm saying? So he's our greater father than our father we would have here on the earth. You see what I'm saying? So he said, don't love them more than you love me. And see, one of the reasons why he said that is because, like, for example, like, for example, your mother or your father might want you to go do something sinful.
Right.
But Father God said, don't do it. And so if you say, okay, well, God said, but my mama said for me to do it.
Right.
My daddy said for me to do it, but God said for me not to do it. So if you love God more, you respect him more, and you know that he requires obedience of you, then you're looking for trouble out of him if you're going to do what mama said
right.
over what he said. So he said, just love me more than you love them.
Right.
You know, and if you put them before me, then you're not worthy of me. You know, so it all boils down to us knowing who he is.
Jesus said, one time he was preaching and they came and they said, Jesus, your mother. and your sister's
yes.
brother, they won't
yes.
talk to you.
Yes.
And Jesus said, well, who is my mother?
Yes.
Who is my brother? But he that doeth the will of my Father.
Yes. Because
Jesus has an expansive view. He says, color doesn't matter.
Yes.
But what matters is, are you obedient?
Yes.
Are you doing the will?
Yes.
And so when you come out with these lies, it causes people to say, Jesus doesn't accept me because of my color.
Mm-hmm,
when the Bible says Jesus claims all colors, he claims all races, but he makes a distinction based on obedient and not obedient, faithful and not faithful.
Yes. Do you have anything that you want to add, Jamal?
No, but I did catch a little piece of what you said a minute ago, something about the, you know, the bathroom situation with the... I just catch the weirdest thing. But, you know, and I didn't actually catch it on the news or whatever, but, you know, I heard several people speaking about, well, enlighten us a little bit more on that, what you were saying about the guys going into the girls' bathroom.
Yeah, well, yeah, Obama has mandated, and see, this is people who think that their rules and regulations are superior than God's rules and regulations, that the transvestites, now they have gone and created another people. They've gone and created another people. And so this is what they're saying. They say male and female and transvestite.
Right.
So they have created, actually they've created two more different people. Because they say male, female, the gay community, and the transvestite. So they've added, who they going to add next? You understand what I'm saying? What
right.
can they add next? They weren't saying gay. They didn't want to say sodomite. They didn't want to say homosexual. So they said gay. And then, so now they say transvestite. And so Obama has gone and he has mandated that the somebody, a male, can go into the female bathroom. We're just talking about a male, a transvestite. That's a male.
That's going to lead to a whole
lot. Or if it's a female transvestite, they're talking about a female.
But did he really mandate
that? He did. But see, what he did was he told the people, he said that he told the school, wrote the letter to the schools, and say that if you don't do this, you're going to lose your funding.
Well,
and so you got states fighting him, see. You got states, and they say state Louisiana, they also said to ignore him. So what were you going to say, Jamal?
That's going to cause all kinds of havoc. And I'll tell you why. Because today, we are smart. We're very smart. Especially our little boys of the day, they're very smart. They will now, because the transvestite may not have long hair, may not be dressed a certain way, you know, or whatever the case may be. But if they claim that they're a transvestite, that means that they can go into the girls' bathroom.
Yeah.
I have a daughter that's in the 11th grade. Well, she's going to the 12th now. School's out.
Yeah.
And I promise you, if my baby ever tell me that she saw a boy in the bathroom with her, this is going to be a very ignorant father.
Yeah.
This is going to be an ignorant father because, see, the little boys can go in the bathroom.
Yeah.
But they look mine somewhere else.
Exactly.
They don't
exactly.
have to be no transvestite, none of the other
exactly.
types. They can be a little horny toad. They're going to be trying to get in there, or the boyfriend and girlfriend. Try to go into a stall together and stick out.
Yeah.
Locker rooms. You know, I
yeah, that's why they said they could go into the locker room and take a shower.
Yeah,
like, you tell me that's not crazy.
Yeah.
The boys are going there to take a shower with the girls.
Well, you know,
that's not crazy.
The other views of the situation, and I went and looked at the letter that he wrote, and what the letter technically, what I saw, was trying to stop the discrimination, and it basically said you got men restroom, a men, male, and female. And then some schools have what's called a privacy restroom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a single use. And what they were trying to say, I thought he was trying to say, is don't make the transvestite go into the private use unless you make everybody else go into there. Okay? And then for the second part, and I didn't have any problems there, but the second part
which I really had some problems with, was basically saying, if they tell you they're transvestite and they identify as a female, then go with what they identify with rather than what they were born with. What the North Carolina law was saying was, no, we're going to go with what you're born with.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, that's, you know, the Bible says, that God made a male and female.
Yeah, female, yes.
And so I hear what you're saying. That
yeah.
It's like man is saying, I want to make something else.
Yeah. And it's like this cartoon that this guy, which I put on my Facebook page, somebody put a cartoon up, they got this man. He's big old man. He's walking into the ladies' bathroom, got his beard and everything, but he got looked like he got on some women's shoes or whatever. And he got his beard, he got a camera in his hand. He's walking into the ladies' bathroom, and he tells the lady, she looks shocked. She's standing up in the bathroom, the ladies' room with her daughter. So she's looking shocked. And then he's got his camera in his hand. He said, oh, lady, don't worry about it. I'm a transvestite.
I have been there. I was at an establishment, and, you know, I was at the urinal in the men's restroom, and I turned around, and I saw some red puff.
True.
And I was like, get out of here. I'm thinking, hey, this a woman is this? And I looked, and as I came up, and person had on stockings and a dress and was kind of a shirt. I looked up and see a big old monkey. And I was like, whoa. And I always wash my hands before I leave out. That's what I got right back on that stage. Well, I'm just saying. I'm just saying. you know, it's really where.
So what did you do after that?
I actually went to the owner of the establishment and said, you need a third restroom.
Yes.
Because what people forget is we started out with a male restroom and a female restroom.
Mm-hmm.
And we started out with that for a reason.
Yes.
You know, it was privacy. But it was also to eliminate the possible harassment. And the presumption was men wouldn't be attracted to men and women wouldn't be attracted to women.
Uh-huh.
So they were separate.
Right.
But now that you've got, you know, I was joking with my son about it. I said, well, I guess next we'll have a transvestite female born a male. That although they identify as a female, they like women. And I said, oh, what do you do with that? And so what I was really saying is, if you allow mankind to recreate themselves,
yes,
then society now
is in a bad chaos
situation.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, you all don't want them in your bathroom.
No!
Yeah, we don't want them in our bathroom.
Women. if you want to say it's phobia, maybe it is phobia. But I think in good faith, you got to say it's just kind of uncomfortable.
It is.
Right.
It would be very uncomfortable because I would want to see no lesbians in my bathroom.
Right. The women, a real woman in the bathroom, see a man come in there with a sheet. You know,
exactly.
You have to probably be terrified.
Exactly.
If one little girl
mm-hmm.
in the bathroom, 1 9-year-old
mm-hmm.
that is old enough to go to the bathroom by herself, is getting ready to use the bathroom, and she looks up at the door and see that, man, she's going to hurt everyone in there.
Screaming.
If I start screaming. Gonna, right. Yes,
she's going
to
get
so what is the world coming to? So if I'm in my bathroom, and I'm like you, I'm standing there, and I'm, you know, usually in a... I just, you know, look beside me or whatever and happen to see when I'm getting finished and see some pumps, and then I look all the way up to a man face with pumps and all that stuff on. I don't want that in there with me. I don't. Finish standing there, president and everybody, and I'm all for non-discrimination,
mm-hmm.
okay, and being fair.
Yeah.
But my response, and I have another personal experience I share with Bobby, I was in New Orleans. In French Quarter. And he was at this disco. This was many years ago. And what really blacks in there, and this is one black woman, and we were kind of conversing, and she said, "I'm leaving." I said, "Why are you leaving?" You know, the party said, she said, "I'm going home." So I flippantly said, "Hey, I want to go too." And she said, "Oh, you don't want to go home with me." I said, "Wait a minute, I don't want to go home with you. You look like you have a mass murder party." She said, "Oh, no." So then we got to talking, and she was, you know, open to, and someone said, "That doesn't seem a little too easy." So I said, "Hey, I don't mean any offense, but are you a man or a woman?" And she looked at me.
"Hey."
Well, I just said, in my mind, it was the person looked at me and said, "I can be more woman than you ever had." And I said, "Wow." Not for me, but I thought about it. I said, just the thought that God can make a woman, and then somebody else says, "I can make myself a woman better than God." To me, that was just
crazy.
That's just crazy, but from a spiritual standpoint, I was like, that's not good.
It's turning upside down. And see, in the, you know, Obama, they also, according to the senator in Texas, that I was listening to, governor in Texas, that, and then listening to, well, hey, some things I go and listen to the radio talk shows on the radio, too. They've been talking about how he was also giving the transvestite homosexuals the okay to use, to go into the girls' locker room and take showers. And that's crazy. And so you had people on TV talking about, well, would you be comfortable with your 9-year-old daughter getting into the shower with a 14-year-old boy? And do you know there were some of them that said, "I wouldn't be anything wrong with it."
What my son said. It was insightful. He said, "Well, you know, Dad, this is nothing new." He says, "Solomon, Gomorrah." And I had to think, I guess he's right. I said, but what's new about it, I think, is we have restrooms that we have segregated based on male and female for many years. Now, before you get into a restroom, you just had trees and that, I guess it didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we're going to have to go back to where all the restrooms are just single use.
Open it up. Every restaurant, everywhere in the world, just go remodel. Open that thing up. Your restroom is going to look like this. From that wall to this wall, but way back. And you just walk in. Everybody walk in and get a stall and lock your door.
Right.
You just got a big open space right there.
I think
if you're going to do it like that, you don't need a man and a bathroom.
Exactly.
You just have one restroom.
I think
that's where we're going to go to.
Well, see, what the government is doing, they're creating a Sodom and Gomorrah, because when I used to read the Bible and hear about Sodom and Gomorrah, I would be trying to figure out, well, how did Sodom and Gomorrah get to be Sodom, the whole country get to be polluted like this? Well, all you got to do is take a look at America, and this is what, you know, my son and I were talking about. All you got to do is just look at America, and then you see how it came to be. All the children corrupt, because they're teaching it to the children in the high school. They're giving them homosexual lessons.
Right.
And how to be accepted. No, it's not how to be accepted. This stuff has to be rejected. Why? Because it will send your soul to hell.
Well, that activity.
Extermination.
And that's where, you know, it's where I think people don't want to say, if you believe the Bible, and I do,
yes,
that's what got Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed.
Yes.
And so what that type of activity brings into question is, do you really believe there is a God?
Yes.
And do you really believe that happened in Sodom and Gomorrah in the Bible? And if you believe that, then that causes you to say, we're just not the only ones here. It's not just about me respecting your rights and you're respecting my rights. It's about whether we're going to respect God's right to be the creator.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly.
And if we don't, what's going to be the
consequence? And to be the father of mankind.
That's correct.
That was very profound that you said, statement that you just made. I like that. Because, see, this is when people began to look at the country that was destroyed, that has this element in there. They show Pompeii. This existed in Pompeii. A volcano just came up out of the blue and just knocked them down.
You know, the devil did say he wanted to be just like that.
Yes.
And so what we're kind of getting is this, it's really calling into question, I think.
Yes.
You know, it's calling into question. Now, I'm going to say a little, it may not be as profound as the last statement, and I've gotten ridiculed for it. The Bible says he made them male and female.
Yes.
And in regards to what happens, what we're talking about, that's true.
Yes.
Because here's what happens. It may not be true in 100% of cases, but it has been true in 100% of cases I've seen. That if you see two men together and you see two women together, you can always tell which one takes the role of the male and which one takes the role of the female. And I said, that's what's baffling for me, that even in Satan's attempt, or people attempt to say, I don't want to be, when you see two women or you see two men, you can always kind of tell one is more dominant and one is not. And so it's like it's a stereotypical view, but it sort of suggests that you really can't change what God has made. And what we're saying is, like Satan said, he's going to try.
Yes.
But it won't be able to change it. And so it just kind of shows, I've always said, they really prove the power of God.
Yes, yes. Now, one of the things that the government has been trying to do for years and years is that, you know, they got this big thing going Melissa?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, we're going to have to cut you off because there's a lot.
Sorry,
dear. There's a lot of noise in your background.
Okay, I came into another room. I want to say something on the issue.
Okay, hold on 1 second.
Okay.
See, God said, be ye fruitful and multiply and fill the earth up with people. Then Satan says, and people are going along with Satan. Satan says, don't reproduce, don't multiply, because two of the same sex cannot reproduce, they cannot multiply. And see, this is what people are missing. The last thing that they want to be told is that they're going along with Satan. But they are. If God said do it like this, and Satan said do it like this, and you're doing it like this, and Satan's doing it like this, like God said, then who are you going to? Who that Joshua said, choose ye this day?
This day.
Who you will say? And it boils down to that. But this is what people, they want to ignore that, because people are just really religious by nature. And it does something to them to think that they don't have God. But they want God, their way instead of wanting God his way. And that don't work. Okay, Melissa, you can go on and say what you have to say.
Okay, my comments on the issue is it's anti-God because the Bible says he has not tempted anyone with anything that's not familiar to him. And he takes things that, okay, you have some people that were not raised in the church and don't understand biblical principles. And then they try to force their own ideas and their own actions into the school. But that's a choice. And they teach guys in school that boys were born with this certain part and girls were born with that certain part. But when that issue comes up, it's perverted, according to the word of God. And so they don't care about our children. That shouldn't be an issue in the schools at all.
Yes.
The kids in school, it should only be about them going in there and learning their lessons in school. and then the whole issue contradicts everything. Because they were told, are they going to change the schools now to where if you were born with a male body part, then you're a boy. And then when they walk out of class, then they want to go in the girl's bathroom.
Yeah. It's going to affect the biology classes. I hadn't thought about that.
Yes, ma'am. And then one of the other brothers has made a point of you got some kids that hormones are racing. They might want to go in there and pretend that they, a boy will pretend that they're a girl all year long.
Mm-hmm.
You're going out with a female lady at school.
Yeah.
So how the teacher's that? It's not going to prevent bullying in school. It's going to make it worse because now that they're openly gay, they're going to find a way to get around and bully these people that are openly gay. Now, in the public bathrooms and all that, in stores and outdoor places, they need to have, if they want to do all this, they need to have a totally separate. You got the boys, the girls, women, men, then you got the ones that want to change their gender, change them, transgender female, transgender male. I do not want to look up and see a man in the bathroom with me. Because
yes.
I don't want to call the police.
Yes.
And that's the only place, I thought about this lady, that's the only place that they are not allowed to have cameras. And that's what concerns me the most.
Yeah, you know, and I don't understand
why adult men want to push this agenda so bad. But it's a choice issue. It's not a discrimination issue to me. It's a choice that they choose. If somebody chooses to go through an operation and be a transgender, that's a choice they make. Just like if a person decides they want to be an eagle, that is going to eagle's nest.
Our transgenders need to use the bathroom before they go outside.
It's going to make everything worse. And I think if they want to try this out, they need to start doing separate bathrooms to see how bad it gets there. It's still going to get bad.
Get them a cap.
So that's my opinion on the issue. It ain't going to make anything better. Talking about they want to be accepted and all this stuff. A lot of people are going to pull their kids out of school. And that's just going to make it so much harder. But school's supposed to be a place of learning and not a place of what somebody's sexual preference. I wouldn't even want my daughter dating no boy at school. You need to be focusing on your education.
Yeah, you know, just getting into the locker rooms and all that, showering and looking at each other's body parts. But look, kids, even for grown people, you know, that's just crazy. But anyway, we're going to pause for a second, and then we're going to come back and we're going to take up this issue because I wanted to share with you all what they're trying to, the doctors are trying to claim that this happens at birth. And so I want to talk a little bit about that when we come back. So just hold on there for a second. Thank you.
That's a good point. They don't lock cameras in the bathroom.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, whoever could go in there.
And do what they do.
I was out to lunch with a lady friend of mine, and she was telling me about Bruce Jenner. She said that Bruce Jenner still got his male part. And so he's thinking about going back to being a male now. You see what I'm saying? And so that's confusing. So,
yeah.
And so what I'm saying is, if he still got his male part, so men perpetrating like women.
Right.
They still got their male part. Right. And like she said.
And females still got her. She still got her female part.
Some of them men going
to lie. She got herself
a man. They going to lie. They going to dress up like a woman.
Yeah.
They going to go in the bathroom. They going to see these little girls in the bathroom. Mom and dad is not around.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And so,
you probably
going to
get kids
come out
dead in the
bathroom. I was out with another lady friend of mine that got a little girl. And she said, well, she don't see anything wrong with it. She would much rather see a man who dressed up like a woman and everything and act like a woman going to the ladies' bathroom other than going in the men's bathroom because that might make the men feel out of place. I said, girl. I mean, you realize what you're saying. You got a little girl, don't you? Yeah. I said, what about if you were out at the basketball game or the movies or somewhere, and your little 10-year-old girl says she got to go to the bathroom? and you let her go to the bathroom. Now you got this big rusty so-and-so in the bathroom that can follow her in the bathroom, and you sitting off in the stand somewhere, don't know what's going on.
And he in the bathroom because it's legal.
That shouldn't even be an issue with you talking about being on their side of that. Let's go to the bathroom. Did you got a little girl? Well, not too close. Yeah, I keep talking about. I shouldn't have to put it like that.
Yeah.
That is just coming to people's minds automatically. But people are so used to being programmed by society.
Exactly.
That the thinking has been numb.
Yes.
First you go in and you say something about it, joke about it. You numb in the system. Now you put it on. Now they're going to accept. You want to say something?
Yes.
So,
okay. All right, let's get back. Let's get back. Okay, so now, all right, then. So we're going to pick up where we left off. Some years ago, probably about 20 years ago, I saw this movie. I saw this here documentary on television. And it was on, was it Nova? I can't remember exactly what it was on, but it had these families on there that these doctors had gone to these mothers, and they was doing experiments on children. And these were all white people that I saw on there. So what they did was, if it was a male, they had gotten a mother, they probably paid them some money to allow them to castrate the male and for her to raise the male as a female, as an experiment. And so the male, and then if it was a female, they had the woman, they had the parent to raise the female up as a male. Now, what they attached to the female, I have no idea what they did. But ain't no telling what they did. They can make a Frankenstein, so ain't no telling what they can do. You understand what I'm saying? And so, yeah, so this is what they did. And so this guy here, that his mama had raised him as a female, a white guy, he never could accept it. And finally, he was in high school, but he refused to wear the girl's clothes. He just didn't like wearing girl's clothes.
He was born a male.
He was born a male, but the doctor had castrated him when he was first born.
Wow.
And had the mother to raise him as a female. So a lot of time when you hear these people are talking about, oh, I was born like this, you don't know.
Right.
What these doctors may have done to you. You know, you hear people, that boy been acting like that ever since he was 6 years old.
And also, you know, people can take hormones.
Yeah.
And these other drugs to change the appearance. And so it stands to reason that while the mother is pregnant, something could be injected into the medicine to create this. But I want to share with you on something I heard.
Can I finish with this report right here? Please. So this guy here, when he got to be a grown man, he married a woman, and she had children. He didn't have no children. But he said that whenever he could afford it, that he was going to have an operation to get himself back.
Right.
Because, see, the mama had to tell him what happened when he was a baby. Because the doctors did that.
So he was raised as a female.
He was raised as a female.
And then he married
all the way through high school.
Right.
All the way through. His mama finally told him one day, maybe with wife, while he was in high school, because he was miserable. And so there was a woman that was the same thing that happened to her. So they showed the cases of these two people. And they went back and visited them like years later to see how they're coming along. But it was something that these doctors had done. So a lot of time when you have these people are saying when you hear the child was born like this, that's these doctors doing this kind of stuff. Okay, I'm sorry.
Now, I want to just point out on that. When I first heard this, I didn't believe it. And then I had to read and find it in the Bible. In Genesis, and I got it here, Genesis 30th chapter, there's an incident with Jacob. He's with his father-in-law, Laban, and they're having some dispute about sheep.
Yes.
And so they made an agreement that Jacob would get the sheep.
Yes.
That with the stripes in the face.
Yes.
And Laban would get the horns with that. And so Jacob, you know, Jacob is known as the trickster. Jacob does something that's relevant to our conversation.
Yes.
Jacob takes a strip, a branch, and he makes a white stripe in it. He peels back part of it, and he puts it in the trough where the sheep are feeding.
Yes.
Because, and while they would come and they would be in heat, and they would mate, and then they would be born with a stripe.
Yes.
And what it tells us is our nature can be changed. Based on what we see.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that second part goes with that, see, God is so wise. And God is showing us how to outmaneuver Satan. He sees that these things are coming, and his word is our protection.
Yes.
And I remember growing up, and I'm sure we all remember this, you go to vacation Bible school, and the person over it would say, and girls, don't come down here with pants on, and boys, don't come down here with flats in your hair.
Yes.
Miss Neal at Midway used to do that, and we thought Miss Neal is so old-timey, she don't know what she's talking about. Well, today, we are dealing with, I think, the consequence of what God was saying. Men don't look like women.
Don't
women don't look like men, because it's going to change inside of that. Of saying that to change you from to get this confusion.
Now, what you're saying about that, it brings us to, if you notice how they start changing the clothes, they start making the male, the female underclothes look like the male's underclothes.
Right.
And start making the male's underclothes look more feminine.
Right.
They did this to and you put it to the store and went. Where the female underclothes at?
Right.
Running alone, that belongs to the men. You see what I'm saying? And
it's
so,
unisex.
And so this is what they did. Well, it created something in your mind to make you think that. And then they put these singers, had these singers. What was that girl's name? She made this video, and she had on a total male suit. She had on a Tony Braxton.
Don't Tony Braxton.
Had on a total male suit, and society imitates what they see on television.
Right.
See, and so it's been in another thing that a lot of people had not noticed. That I noticed, you know, a lot of times people take you crazy when you mention something. These cars that they make, these cars with this animal eye, hypnotism.
Mm.
They make. Have you noticed these headlights that a lot of them look like animal eyes? Have you noticed that?
I know.
You hadn't noticed it. You haven't. Have you noticed that they have these cars with animal eyes?
I know you got. They got some cars.
Not just the new ones.
Like with some bugs.
One back in 2005. What'd you say, Melissa?
The one with the eyelashes.
And the backlight. What'd you say now?
She said the eyelashes.
Eyelashes.
Oh, okay. No, I hadn't seen those. But yeah, they have. Before y'all leave. I'm going to turn my car lights on because I have been criticizing it for so long. And then I go and buy a car like that because it's supposed to be such a good car, General Motors. Oh, anyway.
The General Motors.
It's supposed to be such a good car. And so I bought it because it had a Toyota motor in it and all this kind of stuff. I ain't never worked with Toyota. Toyota made a car with my ass. Yeah, but they have. I definitely had to notice because I was traveling back and forth from Shreveport to Georgia to Louisiana, from Kansas City to Louisiana all the time, and I'm. Riding in the back of these cars, I got to get every man in this car because the eyes look like animal eyes. And so, yeah, they have the ones that are the front like that. It start noticing something you can't see unless the good Lord show it to you. And I said, well, all of these things are hypnotizing people. You look at different shows on television, they always got eyes popping up. The commercial that got eyes popping up. And European society really copied a lot of their stuff that they try to do, is sorcery stuff off of Egyptian, because you remember the Egyptian had these all-seeing eyes, the eyes of Osiris. And you know, the Egyptians were great as masters at sorcery. You see what I'm saying? And so they are doing that. But this is what Europeans do. When Hitler died, if he died, they went and they got all of Hitler's wicked scientists and wicked generals about them to America.
So
they could use the evil stuff that Hitler was doing.
I mentioned Dr. Frankenstein.
Yes.
And we all know the story. But I think when they when it was written to warn us that people who think they're smarter than God will try to create something different, and it's going to turn out to be bad, a monster.
Yeah.
Now, as we were talking about things on TV, I cannot help but mention Geraldine.
Okay.
We all know Geraldine.
Yeah,
no. Mr. Philip Wilson and Geraldine would come on, and we thought it was funny, and we thought, and I always say, it seemed like after that, and just like it seemed like when after Betty Wright wrote this song, "Tonight is the Night You Make Me a Woman," the teenage pregnancy just kind of, it seems like these things are, and these thoughts are in hearts. But when things on the media kind of says it's okay, there's nothing wrong with it, it's like an affront to God's plan.
Yes,
And I just believe, hey, God's a creator.
Yes.
And I'm in awe of things like the sun.
Yes.
You know, every day you can find the sun in the same place.
Yes.
So God's plan, it works.
Yes.
It's good. And so when people say, I want to tinker with that, I think we all do good to say, hey, that's bad.
That's bad. Now, I know we're going to have to get ready to end this here show. Do you have anything that you want to say, Jamal?
No, I'll say in closing that we just have to remember one major thing. The will of God will never lead us where the grace of God will not protect us. You know, when you think about that, you know, you just kind of smile and you say, everything's going to be all right.
Well, you know, that's a good thought, too. And then you think about what he said, that period of time shall come before he comes. It's going to get worse and worse.
Oh, yeah.
Now, just to tap back to mention one thing about that black in the Bible. With man coming to change the color of Jesus, I heard one writer said that what would happen is, you know, they're big on talking about aliens now. That's all they talk about, aliens coming. Aliens gonna come and get us and all that kind of stuff. And oh, we're gonna be able to beat the aliens. All these movies they try to show you that they're gonna be able to beat the aliens, right? And whenever they have alien attack, they got the equipment that they're going to be there. So now they're saying, on some of these aliens, ancient aliens, stuff like that, oh, well, God must be an alien then, because they had the Anunnakis and all these kind of people and all whatever, these fallen angels and all this stuff that they're talking about. Well, number one, they've so deceived people about the color of Jesus. When Jesus come as a black man, they're going to think this is an alien.
Well, you know,
because they have been lying about his color for so long.
You know, it shows you how the plan of Satan, first, he just wants to make Jesus white.
Yeah.
To force black people away. Then he's going to come back, and when blacks say we're corrected, then that's going to force some white people away. Because that's just Satan.
Yeah.
He doesn't want people to accept God for who God is.
Yes.
And I think even as we say they've lied, you know, something by my dad, when I went to college, I came home, I wanted to show my dad that, hey, the Bible didn't say that God was white. And that was, I wanted to prove that he didn't say what color he is, I could make him black. And my dad said something, I'll never forget it, Bobby. He said, "Wow, boy, is that what I sent you to school to learn?" That's what he's talking about. He said, "Well, didn't you learn that God is a spirit? And the last I heard, the spirit doesn't have a color." Yeah. I looked at that old time. I said, "What is it? 9 o'clock?" But we started 7. We start. We started till like right at 8. Yeah, doesn't make sense.
No, I was completely. Did you catch everything I said?
No.
Because we could just go on the end of their song.
Yeah.
We've made the point. We don't have to do any more.
But I just did it with my.
What'd you say, Melissa?
I just wanted to look up a couple, point out a couple of scriptures. The one I mentioned earlier,
there's
12 and 13. Therefore, that tempt that thinketh he stands, take heed that he falls. Therefore, have no temptation taken to you, but such as promised to me. But God is faithful, who has not will not suffer you to be tempted, as the world that was still able, for which the temptation will make a way of escape. And the other was Thomas, where he said that they will give the man looking at the woman, and then he'll give him over to a reprobate mind. You know, and so they're both unbiblical for people to look at it one another. You know, and so some people may think that, hey, it's just religious jargon when we say that this was not approved of by God. So the word God does back up the concept that this is not allowed, you know, this is not something that God did because it's scientifically impossible to make sure plain fit. So all these things that up in that truth.
Yes. Well, all right then, with
Well, you know, when I was saying earlier when I was trying to prove to my dad that, you know, the Bible didn't say that God was white, so because it didn't say we can make him black if we like.
Mm-hmm.
My dad responded, I always like to end discussions about race in the Bible on the point he kind of made. He said, you know, God's a spirit, and a spirit doesn't have a color. So when we really talk about God, color really shouldn't be part of the conversation. But we kind of have to now. Ideally, it shouldn't be part because once the lie has been out there, you know, we got to correct the lie.
Correct the lie. Because, see, the thing that our grandmothers and granddads and moms and all that, they didn't see what we see in the Bible when it's giving a description of God, which there it actually is a description of him. But he's a spirit, but it's only when he manifests himself to people
right. That
he manifests himself to the people that he came to, because he said, when he came to the earth, I came to my own. And so he had chosen Abraham in order to, but when he was visiting Adam and Eve in the garden, he probably showed himself as a spirit, you know, perhaps, you know. But because that they have misrepresented him,
Yes. Then
we've got to set, the whole Bible has not been taught unless you identify the area where Jesus was born and the area where he lived, see. And so you say when the Egyptians he went to Egypt when he was a baby, he went there to hide, you know, amongst the black people there. And so, people have come and they want to make you think that he went and hid amongst white people. And so that's the only reason why, you know, that we're having to say this.
Indeed.
But to say that we're saying it because we. Black people didn't even know what color God was. We was always known as a spiritual people, a people who were just identified with God. And we had no idea over here for 400 years as slaves, we didn't know what color he was. It didn't even matter. We're just waking up to that fact now. And so we're waking up to that fact, not to say we hate you, but we're just wanting to learn our history.
Mm-hmm.
And it is very important because, let me tell you something, my mother is so messed up. She is so messed up. She has dark skin grandkids and lighter skin grandkids. And my sister had to tell me just the other day, she said, Mama Jean, don't give this picture to Mama. Whatever I did with it, she said, don't give this picture to Mama. Because Mama would take this picture and she would show this picture to everybody instead of showing this. And this picture is showing her lighter skin side of the family, people in the family. You see what I'm saying? And she's messed up, see? And it showed her lighter skin sisters over her darker skin sisters because she's got some sisters that are very, very dark and some sisters that look half white. You see what I'm saying? Or look white. You can tell the difference between them. You see what I'm saying? So maybe if she knew her worth,
that's a good point.
Maybe it would not have made her so mentally deranged because, you know, we've had to accept my mother. Her clinging to or seeming like or this is what the family have complained about. She'll show more love for my brother who's lighter skinned children than she will show toward her other grandkids who are darker skinned and this is what's coming from my sisters. You see what I'm saying? And so this is why you would have a situation like Imitation of Life.
Right.
You know the movie.
Right.
And
that's
so
part of bondage.
Yeah. It's mental bondage. And so it's just trying to get us out of the mental bondage.
Indeed.
You know, I had to debate with my cousin on Facebook. I had to debate with him because he had the nerve to ask me. Now, after he see all my posts on Facebook, he got the nerve. And you know my posts on Facebook, Jamal? Can you imagine somebody having the nerve to ask me, well, Bobby Jean, do you really want to claim you black?
Oh, that's what he said?
Yes. Can you imagine somebody asking me that?
Did you tell
him?
Did you tell him that you're Puerto Rican?
I told him I said that. And I was sorry I had to tell him that on Facebook. Your Amy, your mother, my auntie. They weren't trying to be white, and they could pass before you can.
Right. Yep.
You understand what I'm saying? I can pass before you can.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? But my auntie told me that they daddy told them that he could have lived as a black man, a white man, if he wanted to. But he chose to live as a black man. They were proud of their blackness, you know? Oh, I had to slap him down right down the Facebook. You know what I'm saying?
And what was the reason that you said he chose to live as a black man instead of a white man?
He said that he'd rather live as a black man than to live as a white trash. That's what my granddad. That's what his mother, my aunt from that side of the family. You know what I'm saying? They were proud of their blackness. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And here he comes.
They were free is what I said.
They were mentally free.
Mentally free, spiritually
and
free.
And he's in bondage because he wants to be in the movie.
Hmm.
See? So that was the thing.
Exactly.
And he's going to ask me that. He see my post. You know, I'm talking about, I'm just letting them know that they use color. They use color against us now to divide us.
You know, I've got a little note here, and I want to say, and you just kind of reminded me.
Okay. We have
to hit the reset button.
Yes.
The whole discussion of race never should have come up.
Yes.
But whites made it a political issue.
Yes.
They made it a defining issue.
Yes.
And so blacks are kind of victims and reacting to it.
Yes.
But at some point, we have to just hit the, you know, that delete button to delete this conversation. Mm-hmm. And let's just start over.
Yes.
And that's, I'm idealistic. But at some point, you know, with my faith in God, I've always, even though I knew all the people in the Bible were black, it didn't mean anything to me. Because you still don't get benefits from God unless you have faith and you believe.
Yes.
And so at some point we have to just, some way or another, I think this conversation is a good start.
Yeah.
Get blacks, just hit the reset button.
Yeah.
And forget all the lies, all the falsehoods, and just
love yourself.
Just love yourself.
And stop trying to identify, stop looking for love in all the wrong places and try to pull your people up out the trash can.
And stop letting other people define you for who you are.
Yes, yes. And I love being black. I wouldn't want to be no other color than black. And like I let him know, baby, I'm the blackest thing on Facebook. I'm the blackest thing on Facebook. You think because I got light skin, I'm trying to be, I want to be now. I'm the blackest thing, baby. In the United States, okay? The only reason, in Africa, I can't be the blackest thing over there because you got more blacks over there. But, you know, yeah. But anyway, I guess it's time for us to wrap it up in the name of Jesus, and we're so glad that we got a chance to do this. And so,
thank you.
Do it again. We're going to do it again.
And when we do it again, I was going to say, has anyone ever raised an issue on what color Satan is?
Oh,
I've never heard that. So that's something we can research.
Yeah.
And just throw it in
back
there.
And do this again.
Yeah, just throw it in there on our next episode.
Yeah. Praise God.
Yeah.
All right, now, Melissa, we're gonna tune out for Blog Talk, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for being with us, and I'll get back with you later.
You're welcome, and I wanted to give you that scripture, Romans 1:23-28. 23 to 30.